Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Text 36. Gyati yatoham bhavata tvadya durvigeyo pitehina yanman tvam manyase yuktam bhutendriya gunatmaki gyatha no aham myself.
To whom, but,
Tvam, you.
Manyase,
understand. Ayuktam,
without being made of.
Bhuta,
material elements.
Indriya,
material senses.
Guna,
material modes.
Atmabhi,
and false ego.
Like the conditioned soul.
Although I am not easily knowable by the conditioned soul, you have known me today because you know that my personality is not constituted of anything material, and specifically not of the 5 gross and 3 subtle elements. Purport. Knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth does not necessitate negation of the material manifestation, but understanding of spiritual existence as it is. To think that because material existence is realized in forms, therefore spiritual existence must be formless, is only a negative material conception of spirit. The real spiritual conception is that spiritual form is not a material form. Brahma appreciated the eternal form of the Lord in that way, and the personality of Godhead approved of Brahma's spiritual conception. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord condemned the material conception of Krishna's body, which arises because he is apparently present like a man. The Lord may appear in any of his many, many spiritual forms, but he is not materially composed, nor has he any difference between body and self. That is the way of conceiving the spiritual form of the Lord. Om Gyan Timinantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militan Gena Tasmai Shri Udave Maha Shri Chaitanya Manovista Statikam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamaitam Tathati Shapatikam Vande Maham Shri Udo Shri Jata Pata Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamcha Shri Jutam Sahajatam Sahagana Gaganatam Yukam Stam Sahivam Sahajatam Sahajutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Gata Krishna Maram Shahavanadita Sri Vishakandanamcha He Krishna Karuna Sintha Dina Kavata Gatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Sapta Kanchana Gopati Rade Kandai Shri Vishakandanamcha Devi
Vancha Rodhanam Jasa Krupanam Devata Vodhidhanam Mahadevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Vanda Shri Advaita Vanda Shri Vasari Gaurvanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Gyatoham Pabata Tvajya Durvigeo Bidehina Yanmam Tvam Manyase Yuktam Bhutendriya Gunatapi Durvigeo Bidehina. The Lord is Durvigeya, Vigeya, able to be realized. Durvigeya, with great difficulty. The Lord is difficult to realize for the conditioned soul. Consider, here we are, and what do we know about God? Okay, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we have quite a fair amount of information. But just some conditioned soul on his own, what does he know about God? He doesn't see God. He doesn't hear God. God doesn't touch him on the shoulder. He just sees his environment. And maybe if he's a little fortunate, he starts to ask questions. That also, not always, but he may start to ask questions. Where does this all come from? And he doesn't really know. Brahma was sitting on his lotus. He saw that there was something there. Thought, where did this come from? What's the source of this lotus? Maybe it's down below the water. He went looking there, didn't find it. You can go exploring the four corners of the earth. You won't find God waiting to be found there. Now, how does the conditioned soul find God? He's not perceptible by the senses. Can't be apprehended by the senses. Then the next thing is the mind. But the mind also has a lot of trouble, because first of all, there's so many possible alternatives. Well, maybe matter just self-manifested. Everything's somehow or other inherent within matter, and matter has evolved in a sophisticated way, and that's what it's all about. Or maybe there's some sort of a something beyond, but we don't quite know what it is. Maybe it's some sort of all-pervading substance. Whatever it is, it couldn't be anything within our experience. It has to be something beyond our experience. But he really doesn't know what. How will he know? Even if he consults the Upanishads, he will find it very difficult. The description in the Upanishads tends toward the impersonal side. Even if you read Bhagavad Gita, this is 13th chapter, what is it that we have to know? Gyayam. Gyaya, gyato, durvigyaya, gyayam, that which we have to know. Krishna says, gyayam yatat prabhakshami yajgyat vamrita mashnute. Anadi mat param brahma nasantan nasaduchate. Very difficult to understand the absolute truth, but I'll explain it to you. It's beyond the comings and goings of material nature.
What is that knowable ultimate substance? Sarvato panipadam tat, sarvato kshi shuro mukham, sarvata shruti mal loke, sarvama vrittatishtati. He has hands everywhere. He has eyes everywhere. He has faces everywhere. He has ears everywhere. And he covers everything. Think about that a while. Sarvendriya guna bhasam, sarvendriya vibharjitam. He's without senses, but his senses are there. He's asaktam, sarvabhrishchaiva. He's unattached to everything. Nirguna, he has no qualities. But guna bhoktra cha, he's the source of all qualities. Bahir antascha bhutanam, he's, he's outside of everything and he's inside of everything. Oh, this is getting clearer by the moment. Acharam charam eva cha, okay, he's outside of everything moving, he's outside of everything not moving, but he's inside of everything moving, he's inside of everything not moving, Sukshmatvat, he has the quality of being extremely subtle. Tat abhigyayam, and you can't know it. Him or her or it, whatever it is, unknowable, and durastham, very far, and chantikechitat, and within everything. Like those riddles that you can't solve. What's within, I have a question for you. What's within everything and outside of everything and very far away and very near and has faces everywhere but has no senses? So in this way, the absolute truth is very difficult to comprehend. All of these things are simultaneously true about the absolute truth. In the Ishopanishad also it said, Tadure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya tudu sarvasasya bhayataha. He's within everything, he's outside of everything, he's near, he's far, he's standing in one place and he's running faster than everyone. Durvigeya. Very difficult to know. Here it just says, abhigyaya, not possible to know, unknowable. But a little more space is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, durvigyaya, hard to know. The philosophers, those who are trying to understand the truth, have different ideas. They think that, well, maybe there's a God that created everything, but surely that God couldn't be. Well, maybe he's like us, he's kind of a person, but maybe, you know, real, like a superhero kind of person. He's, you know, some, they make him in terms of their qualities and sort of he's a, sort of a blown up version of a human being. Or then the next guy comes along and says, nah, you know, that's just a speculation. He couldn't be just a, you know, bigger version of a human being. He has to be something more sophisticated, something abstract. None of this anthropomorphic stuff. He has to be something, a principle, really, not a person, but a principle. And somebody else says, well, whatever that principle or whatever it is, it doesn't matter because we're here and things are going on and that person or principle doesn't intervene in human affairs anyway, so what's it to us? So you've got the Munis speculating. Then you get the yogis who think, no, we have to get to the bottom of this, we have to know. We're going to do austerities, we're going to do tapasya, we're going to do meditation, we're going to focus within ourselves until we get it. But it turns out to be not very easy. The discipline that you have to go through in yoga is very difficult. And imagine, just you're doing nothing but sitting there, and within yourself, somehow or other, you have to find the truth. Among all the different innumerable possibilities, you have to find the one possibility which is true. By virtue of your austerities and your powerful cognitive capabilities enhanced by yogic power. Very difficult. Therefore, Lord Brahma says, Pantastu koti satavat sarasam pragamyo vayoratapi manasomuni pungavana. Even if you could travel at mental speed for thousands and thousands of years, so pyasti yat prapadasim nivajantita, still you wouldn't get to Krishna. Or even if you could follow the yoga system for thousands of years, still Krishna is so difficult to realize. The sukshmatva is very subtle. The mind is subtle, so maybe by the mind we can know, but the mind is gross compared to how subtle the absolute is. The absolute is absolutely subtle. The mind is only relatively subtle, very subtle. Subtle distinctions, subtle arguments, subtle discriminations, subtle nuances, subtle this, subtle that. But not as subtle as the truth, because the truth always manages to be one step ahead. Gross and subtle bodies, but the subtle body is only subtle in compared to the gross one. Compared to the truth, it's also pretty gross. Now, trying to understand the absolute by the gross or subtle body of the conditioned soul will be difficult, exceedingly difficult. This is the meaning of conditioned. It means you're limited in so many ways. When we're limited in so many ways, how will we understand the unlimited? This is the problem. So Brahma says, "Durvigayopi dehina." Very difficult to understand. But gyatoham, I've been understood, adya, today, bhavata, by you. Yanmam tvam manyase ayukta, bhutendriya gunatmahi. Because you know that I'm ayukta. Here, usually yukta means connected, and ayukta means disconnected. Usually in our, we encounter this in relationship to the Supreme. Ayukta kamakarena, a person who's disconnected from Krishna. But here, ayukta means not connected with bhuta, indriya, guna, not connected with the material elements, the modes of material nature, the false ego, senses, bhuta, indriya, guna, atma, false ego. You know that I'm not connected with any of these. I have no material senses, I have no material qualities, I have no connection with material elements. You know all of this, and therefore you've understood me. We can suggest from the context that these are necessary but not sufficient conditions for understanding Krishna. You may know that the Supreme has no qualities. You may know that the Supreme has no senses. You may know that the Supreme has no material elements, no connection with material elements or with false ego. And still you may not know the Supreme. My bodies, they know. Oh, Supreme has no connection with material elements. He's nirguna, beyond the elements, beyond the, qualities, material qualities. He has no senses, he has no false ego. And therefore, he's nothing like a person. Because persons have all these things. So if the Supreme has none of these things, then the Supreme must not be a person. That's their logic. And it's pretty logical. We are persons, we have senses, we have this, we have that, and the Supreme has none of those things, therefore the Supreme is not a person. It fits pretty well, it's a logical proposition. But it's a material logical proposition. It comes from, as Srila Prabhupada says, negation of material conceptions. That is to say, it's relative to the material conception. It's not an independently absolute understanding. It's just not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. But by knowing what the absolute is not, you still don't know what the absolute is. You know, try to understand a swan. It's not a camel, it's not a duck, it's not an elephant. You can go on that way for millions of years and you'll never get to swan. You'll just know what a swan is not. You'll have a big long list of what a swan is not, but you won't know what a swan is. So the impersonalist philosophers, or those who are, let's leave aside just impersonal, those who are relying only on their intellectual capabilities are insufficiently equipped for understanding the absolute truth. Because even the greatest material qualifications are insufficient. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samagata. Mudho yam navijayati. The mudhas can't understand Krishna because he's covered by his internal potency, yogamaya. And who's a mudha? Just about everyone. Even the big professors, they're mudhas. Even the big yogis, they're also, relatively speaking, mudhas. They're doing all this hard work of yoga discipline. And some of them, they're mudhas. Everyone, practically. Because they're doing all this intellectual work. And thousands of years, and still they're not getting to the point. They're doing all this yoga exercise, thousands of years, still not getting to the point. So, unaided human powers are not sufficient for understanding the Supreme. Even if one has these understandings, that the Supreme has no material qualities, material senses, material anything. Even then, it requires the grace of the personality of Godhead. What is that verse? Tanun Svam? Someone remembers? Upanishad verse. It's not coming to me right now. Anyway. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo. Then? Namehaya bhuna shutena. Then?
Natasha.
Prinute. Tena labhyas. Nayam atma pravachanena labhya. Namehaya na bhuna shutena. One can't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by one's intelligence, simply by conferences, attending lectures, by hearing from lots of different books or lecturers, one can't understand. He's manifest only to one to whom he reveals his own form. That is possible. Bhaktya mama vijanati yamanyas chasmi tatvata. The personality of Godhead agrees to reveal himself in response to the devotional mood of the living being. And where does the living being get that devotional mood? You know, imagine you don't know anything, you're sitting around. You say, I want to understand the Supreme, I guess I should be devoted. That doesn't come automatically either. It depends on the grace of the Supreme or the grace of the devotee of the Supreme. For Brahma, there was no one else, so the Supreme Lord himself was merciful. All right, I'll help you out. Otherwise, it requires the guidance of the pure devotee of the Lord, the touch of the pure devotee of the Lord. By coming in contact with the devotional potency of a devotee of Krishna, one himself is affected by the devotional potency, or that devotional potency is communicated to him. So he also wants to take up the path of devotion. Like Narad Muni, he was just cleaning dishes, but he was serving the Bhakti Vedantas, he was hearing from them, and the Bhakti Shakti rubbed off on him. The very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to him. He developed the courage to hear about Krishna, to know Krishna, to see Krishna. It became possible by the combined mercy of the great devotees and the Lord himself. Then it became possible. The mercy of the devotees, the mercy of the Lord, and his own sincere attempt to understand the Lord by the right process. Then it becomes possible. Then, although the Lord is durvigaya, vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atmabhakta. He's very difficult to understand by Vedic study or any other method, but he makes himself available then, adurlabham atmabhakta. To the pure devotee, he becomes visible. So, Brahma is the original pure devotee in the material world. He was the original person, and by the grace of the Lord, he took up the process of devotion and service, and by the grace of the Lord, he was able to see the Lord. Gyatoham bhavata tu adya durvigeyo pideyena Yanmam Tvam Vanyase Yuktam Bhutendriya Gunapati. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Yes. Loud, loud, loud.
I will ask you how the conditioned soul is so difficult for her to understand the Lord.
Why is it so difficult for the conditioned soul to understand the Lord?
No, if so difficult, it's not possible to understand so difficult, and we can say that the devotee of Krishna in same level, all the transcendental.
I'm sorry, doesn't communicate itself to me as a complete English thought. Did you understand Krishna Kripa?
Well, I would say that he said that the Lord is
My question is how the conditioned soul can see the devotee, pure devotee of Krishna?
How can the conditioned soul see the pure devotee of Krishna? Pure devotees of Krishna are not invisible. it's a serious question. The Lord is invisible. He's just not seen in the material world. The devotees are more accessible because they're visible. They're visible. They're not easy to find. One may not easily come in touch with them, but if you come in touch with them, there they are. Narad Muni was just minding his own business and they showed up.
How to recognize?
Is that the question? How to recognize a pure devotee? So the first thing is they showed up. By their own sweet will, or by good fortune, or by the Lord's arrangement, they showed up. And Narad Muni didn't think, wow, here are pure devotees. It was his job to wash the dishes and do things like that. He was helping his mother out. So he was just doing that. Naturally, while he was doing that, he would hear something. The Bhaktivedantas, they were discussing about Krishna. So he would, he had ears, so he was hearing the discussions. Probably didn't understand very much of what he heard, but it sounded good. There were things there that sounded intriguing, that sounded interesting, attractive. Two words here, two words there. Sort of wanted to hear more. Then while washing the dishes, there was a little food left, so a polite little boy asked, is it all right if I take this? They said, sure, go ahead. That had an effect. He was getting the remnants of the food taken by the devotees. He was hearing their Krishna Katha. He was rendering some service to them. And that's the process. He didn't know, but he was getting the result. Devahuti, she was just serving her husband. Usual thing wife does for serving her husband, she was doing all those things. But just turned out he was a pure devotee. So she got all the benefit of not serving a pure devotee of the Lord. By good fortune. Or the pure devotees go out. This was more or less passive. Narad Muni just happened to be there and doing something. But apart from that, the devotees are a little aggressive. They go out and shake people. Emona durlava manava deha paya kikono tavanake. What are you people doing? The Brahmahurta, and you guys are all sleeping, and you spend your whole day working like asses and decorating your bodies and your night sleeping. What kind of human beings are you? Get with it. Worship Krishna. So the devotees are out there canvassing. So in that way, they're aggressively merciful to the conditions. Is that right? Yes.
Was Krishna's murti manifest in Satyayuga in all the universe?
Now, there's a relevant question. Was Krishna's murti manifest in all the yugas? I don't know. Dwapara Yuga was certainly manifest because deity worship was the number one way for realizing the Lord. Satya Yuga? Seems to me there are some accounts of deities from Satya Yuga, but nothing comes to mind. Didn't matter very much though, because everyone could see the murti within their heart. They were all pure devotees. Some other question?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, slow down and start again.
Only when we serve pure devotees with your devotion, what happens if you don't serve devotee but they are not pure or something like that?
What happens if you serve a devotee and they're not pure? You get something. I mean, practically speaking, you know, we're all going around and preaching Krishna consciousness, and we may not all be the greatest topmost one, like etc. etc. with all those great qualifications described in the Vedic literature, and still people become Krishna conscious, don't they?
So if the devotion travels through devotee, it doesn't matter if you are or pure.
Didn't say it didn't matter. But something will. I may not be a pure devotee. If I'm some kind of devotee, then people will get something. Maybe by coming in touch with me, they'll come in touch with a pure devotee. Or I'll tell them something I've heard from a pure devotee.
So most of the Quranic stories say that they're in touch with pure devotees.
Excuse me?
Most of the Quranic stories say
Puranic that stories, yes.
They always get in touch with pure devotees.
Pure devotee. This term is very interesting because it means all sorts of things. It's one of the most interesting terms in all of our library of Srila Prabhupada's writings, pure devotee. Pure devotee is variously described. Everything from a person who has not the slightest tinge of material desire and is fully absorbed at every moment in the devotional service of the Lord, down to a person who's wearing tilak and neck beads and is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. All such persons are described as pure devotees in different parts of Srila Prabhupada's books. I'm not even quite sure what term in Sanskrit pure devotee, well, of course we have Shuddha Bhakta, but usually, we find Bhakta in so many places and it's not specifically said Shuddha. And even if it says Shuddha Bhakta, now what exactly is a Shuddha Bhakta, pure devotee? Well, applying differently in different places. One place in Srila Prabhupada, in the letter Prabhupada said, all of my disciples are pure devotees. And we had some pretty far out God brothers, let me tell you. Apart from being pretty far out myself. But Prabhupada said we're all pure devotees. No, it's an interesting subject. What does it mean, pure devotee? And who's exactly the certifying? You know, what's the certifying agency also? You know, grade A, government certified, pure devotee.
Wouldn't that be the Bhagavad Gita though?
Well, the book is there. You know, this is the standard. But now, who meets the standard, how do you know?
By observation.
Excuse me?
By observation.
Well, takes one to know one. First you become, there's Prabhupada, he's a pure devotee, and he's saying everybody else is a pure devotee. Excuse me?
All his disciples are pure devotees.
Or even... Excuse me? Yeah, then from another point of view, even pure devotee sees that everyone's a pure devotee. Yuta Madhukar is everyone's a pure devotee, only he's not a pure devotee, everyone else is. How exactly Krishna will reveal himself is also, finally, it's his prerogative. He reveals himself through someone, and someone else comes and, wait, he's not a pure devotee. He's not authorized. I looked down the list. His name's not there. Krishna says, well, I'm going to work through him anyway. Or even a person who apparently, you know, is in some way really not what you expect, Krishna can still say, Sadhureva Samantavya, I consider him a sadhu. But what about his durachar? All of his bad behavior. Krishna says, Sadhureva Samantavya, I consider him a sadhu. Even Krishna can work through a prostitute. How did Bilba Mangala Thakur become a pure devotee? A prostitute preached to him. And not, you know, because she was a preacher or anything, she was a prostitute, but, you know, got up in the middle of the night with this crazy looking guy knocking on the door and said, oh. Just look at you. If only you had this much devotion for Krishna as for you know, miserable material, my miserable material body, how your life would be nice. That was it. Bilba Mangala Thakur by that became a pure devotee. So no one can restrict Krishna. He can appear in a pillar. He can appear from Brahma's nostril. And someone says, you know, from the nostril? The most undignified portal. No, I can appear from nostril, why not? I can appear from a pillar, why not? I can manifest myself through the words of a prostitute. Why not? Now, that doesn't mean that we're just undiscriminating and, you know, we spend our time in the brothels waiting for Krishna to appear to us. Some directions are given, what kind of person to look for, what qualifications, all of that. What sort of engagement, what sort of... So we should seek in the society of devotees for a person who meets the description given in standard literature. But we can still remember that Krishna can do as he likes. Even a person who's unqualified, Krishna makes him qualified. Mukham karoti vacham angur langayati. A person who's not very qualified, Krishna deputizes him. You know, the old Western films where they're going after some outlaw and there's nobody to go after him, so the sheriff pins badges on five men and says, you're all deputized, go out there and let's get them. And they're just farmers or something, but suddenly they become lawmen. So even the most insignificant person, if he's empowered by a pure devotee, can transmit Krishna consciousness potently. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're trying to spread Krishna consciousness when we're just ordinary conditioned souls. But we're depending on this principle that by the grace of a pure devotee, one can become empowered to spread the glories of Krishna. Gee, a lot of questions we don't have time. This is tomorrow. This is wait for Pankajangri's class or Jamini class if you're asking all these questions. Yes. Whoa, you have to be real loud because you're way in the back and it's a terrible room.
Louder?
Yep.
Okay. Bhagavatam says that by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. And the Gita claims that by those who study this literature, worshiping by the covenant, mm-hmm. explain the difference between that verse, Naya Atmanabhavatam Lavya, and these two references from Bhagavatam and Gita.
Yes. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo namedhaya bahuna shrutena. Even if you study Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, still it depends on Krishna's mercy. It's not just that because I'm reading. After all, we have big scholars who are worshipping. Okay, there's turning out the lights on. Big scholars who are worshipping Krishna by their intelligence, but they're doing a botched job of it. You know, they're commenting on Bhagavad Gita in their own way or trying to understand it in their own way without proper guidance. Evam prampra praptam mandrashyavidu. The science of Bhagavad Gita was understood not just by picking up the book and reading, but reading in the proper way under the guidance of a pure devotee. All right. Good. Thank you all very much. All the rest of you. Prabhupada ki jai, samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai, gaur vrinda.